I was one person who had an idea, who made it worse, and someone heard, someone heard.
An audience sing-along during a recent performance of the new musical We Live in Cairo, having its world premiere at the ART in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Yesterday, we brought you the story of the two 20-something American brothers, Daniel and Patrick Lazor. In 2011, they saw a photo in the New York Times of young activists in Egypt and were inspired to write this story of the popular uprisings that brought down longtime dictator Hosni Mubarak.
He told his brothers, I told mine, and what was to turn into nine. We sat to eat, we sat to eat.
Of course, it's a time we documented as well. We reached then-Google executive Wael Ghanim on his cell phone in Tahrir Square when word first came that Mubarak had fallen. And he made that famous comment about welcoming back his country.
All what I can say is welcome back, Egypt. They told us you died, but, you know, hundreds of thousands of us went to the streets at the beginning to search for you. And in 20 days, we became 20 million until we found you. Welcome back, Egypt.
Welcome back, Egypt. They told us you died, but hundreds of thousands of us went to the streets at the beginning to search for you. And in 20 days, we became 20 million till we found you. Welcome back, Egypt. But after Mubarak fell, the Muslim Brotherhood's Mohamed Morsi was elected president. That divided the activists. Morsi was ousted by the military, which cracked down on both Mubarak protesters and Morsi supporters. In 2015, during a march commemorating the uprising, Shema Asabag, a mother and poet, was killed by government forces. That picture flew around the world. We spoke then with NPR's Leila Fadden.
Well, it's a devastating image, her upright with a friend holding her waist and his head against her abdomen, kind of trying to keep her upright as she slowly passed away in front of everybody's eyes.
Recently, Leila, who's of Lebanese descent and pronounces her name Fadden, spoke after a performance of We Live in Cairo about covering the uprising and seeing this show.
Since you spent so much time in Egypt, could you just talk about what resonated with you and your response and reaction to the show?
First of all, I cried like almost the entire thing. I think what resonated was it captured this emotional roller coaster that Egypt and Egyptians were going through in 2 hours, and it did it really well through these characters that united and divided and got tired and gave up and tried to sit up again. Those were the stories we were telling over years.
Afterwards, Leila met the Lazor brothers.
Thank you so much. It was such an amazing talk.
The show was amazing.
Then she sat down with us. Leila Fadden, tears for you.
Yeah, I mean, I think it really brought back a lot of the memories of covering that time period.
You were arrested, blindfolded. That has to be terrifying. And I'm sure you befriended people who are portrayed on the stage here who had so much hope. Mubarak falls and they feel they've succeeded, but then it all goes south.
Yeah, a lot of the people that I wrote about, I felt I recognized them in these six characters. That famous chant, right? Bread, freedom, dignity, justice. And I also recognized that unity that fell apart very quickly after Mubarak stepped down. And so you saw all these activists who had come together. I mean, I think the most beautiful thing about covering that first moment in 2011 was watching all of the people who might not be friends in the normal context of life in Egypt because of class, because of gender, because of economic situation or the part of the country that they're from.
Their faith, some more secular than others.
Their faith, exactly. All of them coming together in this tiny space in the middle of their city. And so it really brought this feeling of a utopia. And also that moment when Mubarak stepped down and people said, you can raise your head up high, you are Egyptian, dancing in the streets. And so that was really reflected too. But those divisions, too, I did a lot of stories about families and friendships being destroyed post-2011 and during that 2013 time period and the military coup that overthrew Mohamed Morsi, where families fell apart and sisters stopped speaking to each other and friends stopped speaking to each other. The Brotherhood was the most organized political force. They won their election. A lot of Egyptians were uncomfortable with that. They didn't trust the Brotherhood. This is also a party that had been demonized for decades. And they did a lot of overstepping. People saw some of Morsi's movements as consolidating Muslim Brotherhood power. And so in less than a year, you saw their fellow revolutionaries turn on them. But they also decided that they could trust the military more than they can trust the Brotherhood. In the weeks that followed the military coup, felt that they had made a mistake and they were seeing what was happening, because that massacre of a few thousand people at that sit-in wasn't the first killing. But you started to see a lot of liberal intellectuals who had supported the overthrow of the Muslim Brotherhood for a different leadership. They started to feel like, wait a second, what have we done? And have we thrown out this sort of democratic path because we didn't like this party, and where does it go from here? And so you saw a lot of people leave the country, and that's also something that was reflected in this musical. You saw one of the activists say, I'm just going to go. I'm going to leave.
I'm leaving, Kyra.
Stop. Come, we all just need to calm down. And then
I got into law school.
What?
I got into law school.
You applied to law school?
A while ago. And I got in, so I'm going.
Are you joking?
No, I'm not.
And we spoke to you at that time when, you know, the military overthrew the democratically elected Muslim Brotherhood president and people were out in the street protesting for and against the military. There's a crackdown. I remember talking to you and you were the messenger that people were being slaughtered. And I remember how just unsettled you sounded.
You know, I had covered a lot of conflict in Iraq and other places, but it was very out of context, because I was in the middle of a cosmopolitan city that was not at war, and I had walked into a protest because I couldn't imagine that it could be that bad. And there were bullets flying everywhere, and there were people being treated in makeshift field hospitals in these sit-ins, and there weren't really exits. And so when I was trying to leave the protest because I was frankly afraid, I didn't want to get shot. So after we had counted as many bodies as we could, because our job is to bear witness so that when the state tells us, oh, nobody was killed, we can say, actually, we counted this many bodies. We had to run through an alleyway, which was the only exit out of the sit-in, that had gotten much more dangerous than when we ran in, because there were so many bullets being fired into the alley. It was being called Sniper Alley. And I didn't know this, but a fellow journalist had been killed in that alley earlier. And so it was very unsettling. And then after, you heard a lot of fellow Egyptians not have so much sympathy for what was going on in the square, either because they didn't know how bad it was, or because they didn't want to know how bad it was, or for some, they felt like they shouldn't be protesting in that square. You know, the days that followed, I remember being at a mosque that had been turned kind of into a morgue because there was no space for the bodies at the morgue, so there were bodies on these ice blocks. I recorded an argument or a debate between a secular man who'd come into the Muslim Brotherhood mosque to talk to them. And they got in this argument about what's best for the state and why didn't they just accept the outcome of the coup. And then the Muslim Brotherhood supporters saying, why are you throwing away our democracy? And then somebody coming up and saying, now is not the time. And I remember asking that man, who clearly was not a Brotherhood member, why did you come here? And he said, because if we don't talk to each other, how can we move forward as a country? And that really stays with me in my mind. It was a really emotional time to watch someone else's country go through such pains. Everybody that I spoke to thought they were making the best decision for their country. And sometimes that decision ended up being on a path to a massacre. So
when you left, the feeling was...
Yeah, resignation. And I remember doing an interview when I left that actually I ended up getting very emotional because of that. There was this resignation that we can't do very much. We tried, but there's not much we can do. And there was one activist who'd been arrested and was briefly released. He was shocked by how little outrage there was over his arrest because so many people had been arrested. People were tired of protesting. Yeah.
Well, maybe a musical can light a fire. You don't know. And that's where we leave Egypt now, under this military rule. still frozen in that last scene.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that it ended up on a very positive note. When I left Egypt in 2016, there was a lot of hopelessness and resignation, and a lot of the silver linings people saw, they weren't there anymore. But I thought the musical ended on a very positive note, that people do have power, and that even when things seem hopeless, your voice still has power. And so I thought that was a beautiful ending, actually, to a musical that rooted itself in a reality that I witnessed. The photographer character, even though she was an activist, not a journalist, her sort of trying to witness and observe and capture all the moments, that kind of felt like the types of things we do as journalists, trying to just absorb and get the message out and tell people what's happening and let them do as they do with that information.
My veil. I told my sister we could fail. Come anyway.
NPR's Leila Fadel on covering Egypt's uprising and its violent aftermath, and on the new musical that tells that story, We Live in Cairo, which is at the ART in Cambridge, Massachusetts.